Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive, and we have reached what's going to be a very entertaining day, NFL draft night. And the first pick will be announced at roughly 6:10, 6:15 tonight. The Cleveland Browns are on the clock. And of course, the Browns, again, hold the key to the draft, currently holding the number one and the number four spots. And there's been a lot of speculation about what direction the Cleveland Browns will in fact go tonight. Will it be Baker Mayfield? Will it be Sam Darnold? Will it be Saquon Barkley? Who do they roll with at number four? You go defense at four, right? You got to go Bradley Chubb at four. We've been talking about it, it seems like, for a very long time. Tonight, we will get the answers. Again, the NFL draft will begin at 6 p.m. And today, we are going to spend the majority of the day talking about the NFL draft. And I think if you're a Utah Jazz fan, you're probably okay with that. What in the world happened yesterday? The Jazz falling to the Oklahoma City Thunder, blowing a 25-point lead in which Russell Westbrook was phenomenal last night. And look, I'm going to say I was wrong. Based off what happened yesterday, I was wrong. I said the Jazz would win this series in seven. Utah has to win tomorrow night or they are not winning this series. There's no possible way you can blow a 25-point game on the road, lose at home, and then recover and win a game seven on the road. It's not going to happen. Especially when it is, to me, and this is not a slight, and I want you to understand where I'm coming from when I say this. The Oklahoma City Thunder have the two best players in this series. Paul George and Russell Westbrook are the two best players. I still believe the Jazz are the better team, but Westbrook and George are the two best players. Okay, and last night, that was obvious. Because to me, Russell Westbrook had a 20-point third quarter. He single-handedly, along with Paul George, put Oklahoma City in position to get a win. Paul George scores 34 points. Westbrook scores 45. Nobody else on the team was in double figures. Nobody else on the team, including Carmelo Anthony, who again did not hit a three-point shot. It was all done by Paul George and Russell Westbrook, who combined for 79 of their 107 points. They both were very, very good. And it also falls on Utah. You know, I know Jazz fans, you look for answers. And it's not just Jazz fans, it's any team in the NBA. When something like that happens, you sit and you scratch your head and you just don't realize in the time you can blame the officials. I know Rudy Gobert's fourth foul last night was terrible. He didn't touch Westbrook. I get it. The officials had nothing to do with that. The Jazz stopped executing. They let Russell Westbrook nearly outscore them in the third quarter. And then they couldn't respond in the fourth. I mean, it was that simple. The Thunder scored 12 points in the second quarter yesterday, 37 in the third. They played with desperation, and the two best players on the court, Paul George and Russell Westbrook, turned out to be the two best players in the game. And really, the Jazz, they got adequate production out of their starters. I thought Jay Crowder was fantastic last night. He was very aggressive. I think he shot 14 threes last night. But to me, it was all about execution for the Jazz late in that game. And they stopped executing, and the two best players in the series took over. Utah still the better team, front to back. I don't like the supporting cast for Westbrook and Paul. I do expect Utah to win Game 6, but I'm saying this. If they don't, the series is over. Tomorrow night is a must-win for the Utah Jazz. If they lose that game, they will blow a 3-1 series lead, and we will get OKC in Houston in the second round. I can't see this going any other direction if the Jazz can't take care of business at home. Like I said, more focus on the NFL draft today than the NBA, and I'm sure that's probably a good thing because it is a touchy subject right now for the Utah Jazz, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. If you're a fan watching that game last night, you're thinking, what in the world is going on? It was incredible. One of the best comebacks I've ever seen in a playoff game, and it was because of Westbrook and Paul George. Take a look at the schedule tonight in the NBA. The Boston Celtics will go toe-to-toe with the Milwaukee Bucks. It's been a very entertaining series. Celtics will have an opportunity to wrap up this series. Now, if you look at the Celtic wins, they beat Milwaukee by 6 in Game 1. It was entertaining. They beat them by 14 in Game 2. They lost by 24 in Game 3, lost by 2 in Game 4 when the Bucks blew a big lead, and then the Celtics grabbed a 5-point win in Game 5. Tonight at Milwaukee, I would like to think the Celtics get it done tonight, but this has been a very fun series and a very unpredictable series as well. Only one game tonight in the NBA. Tomorrow, we have a full slate of elimination games in Game 6. Toronto will have an opportunity to end Washington. Cleveland will have a chance to end Indiana. And then the Jazz can knock out Oklahoma City. And I got to speak about the Cavaliers. I'm always so critical of LeBron James on this show. When he does something good, I got to give him his props. He was incredible last night. And I've had multiple people ask me if that was a goaltend late in the game. It's tied. Oladipo takes it off of the dribble, goes to the left, gets inside the paint. LeBron blocks him at the rim. Two problems I have with this play. First off, you have to dunk that if you're Oladipo. You know LeBron James is lurking. Do not give him an opportunity to block that. You go up for a dunk. If he blocks you, you may get a jump ball call. You may get a foul call. You may get an and-one. I didn't see anything. To me, Oladipo played that completely wrong. And two, no, it was the right call. The ball was underneath the rim. That's why LeBron was able to touch it off the backboard. It was underneath the rim. If it's underneath the rim, it's free play. And it was. Great move by Oladipo. You either got to take a step back, you get a clean jump shot off, or you go up for a dunk. To me, Oladipo played that wrong. LeBron, just keep doing LeBron James type things, like him or not. It's impressive. And it's entertaining. We've got a break for just a moment. Again, today's show is going to be geared towards the NFL draft. I will give you the rundown on the local sports front here in just a moment. We're going to be joined by Antoine Staley of Athlon Sports and also Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. That is all coming up when we return here on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And the Carbon Lady Dinos Golf Squad are Region 14 champions. Despite finishing fourth place yesterday at the region finale in Roosevelt, the Lady Dinos did just enough to take home the overall trophy in the region standings. Finishing fourth yesterday, Carbon shot a 412, way behind the winner, Providence Hall, who finished with a 386. Union was in second with a 399. Delta finished in third at 408. And Juab finished one stroke behind Carbon at 413. The Lady Dinos were led by Jessica Hansen. She fired a team low 97, while Sam King finished with a 98. Jordan Bianco registered the team's third score at 107, and Aubrey Fawcett finished with a 110. Along with the region championship, the Lady Dinos also had four girls placed in the top 12 individually throughout the region season. Jessica Hansen finished 12th, Jordan Bianco 9th, Aubrey Fawcett 8th, and Sam King finished 6th. Lady Dinos will now turn their attention to the state championship tournament, which will come in May. Now we stick with Carbon High School, but we move over to baseball. And on Tuesday, the Carbon baseball squad had an opportunity to clinch a Region 14 championship, but unfortunately lost a three-run lead in the fifth inning in an eventual 8-4 loss to the Juab Wasps. Yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we were joined by manager Jeff Cincinnatus, and he talked about errors and how that plagued his team and the potential region clinching win.
We started off well yesterday, jumped out early. From that point on, I just kind of thought we got flat. We just gave Juab, you know, a lot of hope that they didn't really deserve or earn. Not to take anything away from them, they're a good team. That's why they were playing in the situation they were in, you know, right there with us. And now we're both playing for a region title on Friday at their place.
The Dinos will have one more opportunity to grab the region crown. Tomorrow, they will travel on the road to meet that same Juab team. Start time for tomorrow's contest is set for 3 p.m. We take a look at the schedule for high school sports today, and we'll stick with Carbon High. The softball team will look to continue their hot streak as they play host to the Union Cougars. Start time for today's contest is set for 3:30 p.m. The Lady Dinos have played lights out softball over the last month and have positioned themselves to take the top spot in the Region 14 standings. Carbon and Juab are tied at the top of the standings at 6-1, while Union is in third at 4-2. Providence Hall and ALA follow at 2-6, followed by Delta in last at 0-6. And again, today's contest is scheduled to begin at 3:30 p.m. And the Carbon High School soccer team will also take the field today. The Dinos have no chance at claiming a region championship, but they have played lights out, winning 5 out of their last 6, and the one being a tie. The Dinos are currently in second place at 7-2-2. And following today's game, they will prepare for the state championship tournament, where a win means they will absolutely host a playoff game in round 1. And we continue with soccer, but move over to Emory High School. And today, the Spartans will be scoreboard watching, but they have an opportunity to clinch a share of the Region 15 crown. Emory will wrap up the regular season at home against Richfield tonight at 7 p.m. And an Emory win coupled with a Manti loss would mean a share of the Region 15 crown with Manti at the top of the standings. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll bring you the results from these soccer events tomorrow. And we end by moving over to the national sports scene, where the Utah Jazz and the Oklahoma City Thunder will play in Game 6 tomorrow night at 8:30 p.m. right here on KOAL. The Jazz seemed to be on cruise control last night. They held a 25-point lead, but the Oklahoma City Thunder rallied to pick up a 107-99 win in a stunning turn of events. Thunder point guard Russell Westbrook scored 20 of his game-high 45 points in the third quarter to force the Game 6. Again, that'll be tomorrow on KOAL at 8:30. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. Not too far away from the NFL draft. Actually, the countdown has begun, and of course, the Cleveland Browns are on the clock. They'll pick number 1, and we believe number 4. Joining us right now over the phone to talk a bit about that and more, we have Antoine Staley. Antoine joins us during the college football season, so, I mean, this works hand-in-hand with the NFL. He also works for Athlon Sports and, of course, at the Dolphins Newswire with the USA Today. Antoine, a pleasure as always. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, Jordan.
I know it's a very busy time for you, of course, with you covering the Miami Dolphins and all. The NFL draft, this is the big one. It's funny, this has evolved into such an event over the past decade, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the way the draft has just kind of evolved, really, the last 10 years and the coverage that has been just displayed, too. It seems like even before the NFL season or even the college football season comes about, the draft, people are talking about the draft, and it's kind of like a six-month process from really November until now, late April. So it can get a lot as often. It gets very exhausting, but I'm definitely happy that it's finally here.
Antoine, it's funny because as far as the draft itself goes, when we're talking about some of the individual players in this, I mean, I've already put together a mock draft for 2019. I know Travis makes fun of me here on the show because I'm kind of a geek when it comes to that. But as far as the surprises, when we look at the 2018 college football season now going into the draft, I don't know that there's any big surprises. I don't know if there's a player that skyrocketed up the draft boards, because we're talking about 5 quarterbacks, and I think we could have agreed on this at the beginning of the year. Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen. I'm going to throw Lamar Jackson in there because I say he's one of the top 10 best college football players that I have ever watched. Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen. I mean, that was kind of a no-brainer. Saquon Barkley seemed like this guy was going to be the first running back taken off of the board. To me, there's really no big surprises. I mean, Quentin Nelson out of Notre Dame, to me, that guy's a surefire Hall of Famer at the guard spot. So no big surprises from players climbing draft boards.
No, not at all. I don't. Normally, you have a guy that can, that may sneak up on draft day. We probably will. It'll probably be a couple of guys that a lot of people didn't think would be a first-round pick. But all in all, I think everybody kind of agrees on who's going to be a first-round pick. It's kind of a number. It's probably like 40 guys you think can slide up in that top 32 range. And more, to be honest, if you want, once you get past 25, I think anywhere, those players from 25 to about the mid-40s are kind of all in the same anyway. So I don't think you're going to get a whole lot of surprises.
All right, let me put a GM cap on Antoine Staley here for a moment. You're the general manager of the Cleveland Browns. I think Zashi Brown did a terrific job of setting this team up. I thought he kind of got a raw deal. I've gone down that road a million times here on the show. I was a fan of what Zashi did. And look, Cleveland's got number 1. They have number 4, barring any trades tonight. So with that being said, you're the general manager. You have number 1. You have number 4. You go out in the offseason. You have Tyrod Taylor. You have a special talent in Myles Garrett. Where do you go with the first pick in this draft?
I still would take a quarterback. I don't know if I would take – I know a lot of people have talked about Baker Mayfield not being the guy. You talked about this off air. I think Josh Rosen is the most polished, most NFL-ready quarterback right now, and I would have him. I would draft him. I would have him sit a year and watch Tyrod Taylor until either the Browns are out completely out of the playoffs, or maybe an injury were to happen. And I think it'd be good just for any of the quarterbacks to sit there and watch for a year, especially Josh Rosen. But I feel like he's NFL ready. I feel like he could play right now if he needed to be. And I think if you're the Cleveland Browns, if you want to take a quarterback, that's the way to go. I think before the Browns had moved, the Jets had moved up from 6 to 3. I think the Browns could have. Played around, maybe taking the Saquon Barkley at 1 and taking the quarterback at 4, but now the Jets have kind of forced your hand because you don't necessarily know what they're going to do, and I think they're going to take Baker Mayfield, so now you kind of have to take the quarterback number 1, but that's what I would do. And number 4, I think it's going to be a lot of teams itching to get up there for a quarterback. I would definitely love to trade that, and if you're the Cleveland Browns, get as many picks as you can because we know the Browns definitely need a lot of help on that football team.
They need a lot of help, and I've said this since the end of the season. For me, if I'm the Browns, I pass on a quarterback at number 1. I go Saquon Barkley. Okay, I like Tyrod Taylor. I'm a Tyrod Taylor guy. I don't think that he's the answer long-term at quarterback, but Saquon Barkley to me is a guy that is kind of a unique talent. And then at number 4, to complement what you did last year in the draft, you go with Bradley Chubb. And I know that this isn't a very popular, it's not a prediction because it's not going to happen, but it's not a very popular opinion here. I would pass on a quarterback in general, maybe trade back into the first round later on down the road. And if you have to have a quarterback, maybe grab a Lamar Jackson. But to me, Saquon Barkley and Bradley Chubb for this team makes so much sense, Antoine.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad at any of those guys because I think those guys are going to be surefire players that's going to contribute right away. And I think, obviously, you talk about Saquon Barkley. I think those are two of the best players in the draft, to be completely honest with you. If I had the right draft board, it would be 1 and 2 in no particular order for me. The only problem with them taking Barkley is they gave Carlos Hyde that big deal as far as at the running back position. You also have Duke Johnson, who's more like a third down back. So, what you could do is you could take a Barkley and then possibly move Duke Johnson, and he would have some interest there, and that gets you another pick and also gives you some ammunition to maybe move back into the first round and then maybe take a quarterback if you were to go that route. So, yeah, I have a hard time believing they would take Saquon Barkley, but I would love the pick. I think they definitely should consider him because he's going to be an impact player, and we've seen running backs come in and make an impact right away, and how that has an impact on your football team, a la Ezekiel Elliott and also Todd Gurley as well.
Again, we're being joined right now by Antoine Staley as we talk about tonight's NFL draft. Let's talk about the New England Patriots. Typically, this is a team that doesn't have a first-round pick, or if they do, it's at the very bottom. This year, they're in a unique situation. They have 2 first-round picks. Could the Patriots be in play to package those picks and maybe another asset to move up and grab a quarterback? Is that at all possible tonight?
They may not have to. Depending on what happens with Lamar Jackson, they could possibly be in position to grab him in the early 20s. It just depends on a few things. One, what is the team like the Arizona Cardinals are going to do? And 2, also the Buffalo Bills sitting there at 12. I still think the Bills are going to move up. I just think they're waiting to see how the draft unfolds before they decide where they're going to trade up to, because they have 2 number ones, 2 twos, and also 2 third-round picks. And with all that ammunition, you wouldn't have to mortgage next year's picks in order to get the quarterback that you want. You can give a team 2 first-round picks and also package in a second-round pick to move up for a player that you want. And I think that would clearly be enough to move up, depending on where exactly they would move up. So, yeah, if you're the Patriots, I think you might be able to sit and wait and maybe get a Lamar Jackson there at that spot. Because I truly believe he's going to be a first-round pick. I know a lot of people have been down on him, but I still think at the end of the night, he's going to be a first-round pick taken by somewhere, and they've worked him out plenty of times. And it seems like Bill Belichick really is in love with Lamar Jackson. How that works out, I don't know, but I definitely think I'm pretty sure they're going to get a quarterback at some point because they do have 2 first rounds and also 2 seconds. Remember, they got a second-round pick for trading Jimmy Garoppolo, so they also have a lot of ammunition to trade up as well.
I said I view Quentin Nelson as a Hall of Fame type talent. To me, I really think that this guy is the can't miss prospect in the draft. Now, the problem with that is he plays guard. Okay, so it's not as if anyone's knocking down the door to grab him number one or number two, but to me, he is the can't miss prospect in this draft. With that being said, a team like the Broncos or the Colts or even the Buccaneers may have an outside chance to grab Nelson outside of the top five. And typically, you don't talk about Hall of Fame type talent. I don't think I'm over exaggerating when I say this. I mean, this kid is phenomenal. But out of the top five, you may be able to grab a unique player like Quentin Nelson to really solidify what you have up front.
Yeah, I think he's a guy, you draft him, you don't have to worry about him for the next decade or plus.
Right.
It's kind of how he is, but he plays a position where it's born, and not a people, if you take him, people are going to be like, it's underwhelming. They don't, because a lot of people don't understand offensive line play, and they don't necessarily look at it from that standpoint. But yeah, it's one less position you have to worry about on your football team. And I've said this plenty of times. I know a lot of people don't necessarily like taking guards that early, but if you have somebody that you don't have to worry about for the next 10 plus years, then why not take them? Because it's one less position, you know, each and every year you have to worry about. I think Quentin Nelson is going to be a fantastic talent. I agree with you. I think he's going to make multiple Pro Bowls. And I also think that's an area the Broncos probably should look at. And I wouldn't be surprised if they were to take him early on. I know John Elway's taking a lot of heat for taking quarterbacks. They certainly still could take a quarterback despite them signing Case Keenum. But I think with their problems on the offensive line, why not get a player that can also help you in a Quentin Nelson? You know? But, yeah, you look at Notre Dame, they may have two offensive linemen taken in the top 10 tonight.
It's possible. I mean, McGlinchey could go anywhere from 10 to 25. I mean, it all depends on how the cards shake. But, you know, you bring up the Broncos, and I can kind of use this logic to what I'm saying with Cleveland and them going after Bradley Chubb, okay? When you have holes on a team, you have to make sure that you complement your previous high picks. And I view Denver in the same situation. And this is why I like Quentin Nelson to go to the Broncos. You used a first-round pick on Garrett Bowles. You have offensive line problems. Make it easier on last year's first-round pick and bring in some reinforcement for him. Help complement what you did last season. I don't think teams do that enough in the draft, Antoine, especially when we're talking about teams that have so many holes. And that's why Nelson's a fit for Denver, and that's why Chubb is a fit for Cleveland. Complement what you did last year in the draft somewhat.
Yeah, I think so. I just think that a lot of times these teams put it all on these players, and they expect them to come in and produce right away. And that may not necessarily be the case. You're good as a team around you in most cases, especially it's very rare that you can get a talent and just come in and produce without having talented players around it. You really have to be a special type of player. And, yeah, I think the Broncos, they've had offensive line issues the past few years. And, no, their quarterback situation hasn't been great either, but the offensive line hasn't actually helped that at all. So why not go out and get somebody that can actually help Case Keenum achieve his, have another great year possibly for that team? Because even though he still has questions there, and I think the Broncos should take a quarterback at some point because Case Keenum has been he's been a career journeyman throughout his career, but he's going to only be good if he can stay upright. And if he's not staying upright, I don't care who you are, whether he's Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or whoever, you're not going to survive in this league. So the best way to do that is go out and get help, especially on the offensive line.
All right, two more questions for you before I let you go. We do have a lot of Raider fans here in this area, so tell me if I'm crazy. Roquan Smith of the Raiders at number 10, pair him up with Khalil Mack. I love it.
Perfect. I think so. I've said this for months now. I don't see Roquan Smith getting past one of the Bay Area teams. And I know a lot of Dolphin fans here that have been clamoring for him to come to Miami, but I just can't see it. I can't see either one or the other. They both could use some linebacker help. The 49ers have the situation with Reuben Foster. I know it came out last night that his ex-girlfriend might have been lying about that whole legal situation. So we'll see what impact that has with them. But either way, even if the 49ers would not take Roquan Smith, I definitely think the Raiders could. And also, you may look at a team like the Broncos could definitely take him as well, or the Bears. The Chicago Bears could definitely take Roquan Smith. And if Roquan is not on the board for the Raiders, look for them maybe to take Tremaine Edmonds from Virginia Tech.
And we'll end with the Miami Dolphins, a team that you're very familiar with. I know in just following you on Twitter and on Facebook, there has been some Baker Mayfield talk to the Miami Dolphins. I don't think Baker Mayfield's on the board at number 11. I think that he goes number 3 to the Jets if he doesn't go number 1 overall. But what do the Dolphins do at number 11?
It's really going to depend on who's on the board. I think if Josh Rosen's on the board, I'm pretty sure that that's be the pick that they go with. Derwin James is also a possibility. If Edmonds does happen to get past the Raiders, that's also a possibility there. Vita Vea from Washington, that's a player they've also talked about. I wouldn't take him. He would be the only player that I would kind of stay away from just because he has some weight issues there. He weighs 350 pounds, but he came into Washington close to 400. So that kind of makes me scratch my head. And he's also been labeled as a two-down player. So I don't know if you take a two-down player there that early at number 11. But it was up to me. If you have a Tremaine Edmonds on the board, that's who I would go with, or either him or Josh Rosen if I'm the Dolphins.
Antoine Staley again joining us to talk about the NFL draft. Antoine, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
You can find me on Twitter, Antoine Staley. Also find my work at Antoine Sports and also at DolphinWire.USAToday.com. And, yeah, we'll be covering the draft all weekend, especially from the Dolphins facility. And, of course, I'll have my, have my opinion on not just the Dolphins pick, but all the picks tonight because they'll have the draft on in the big screen. So I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a big night, and I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Have some fun, Antoine. It is going to be a great night. Thank you again for the time, and I know we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, we got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up. We'll continue to preview tonight's NFL draft when we return.
Hey, let's get back to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on 750 AM KOAL.
We are about an hour and a half away from the first pick of the 2018 NFL Draft. The Cleveland Browns are on the clock. We just talked a little preview last segment here on the show. We're going to continue to preview the NFL Draft and now bring in a great friend of mine, Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve joined us live on the air last year for the NFL Draft, and he also is the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in Farmington, New Mexico. They are an affiliate of the Denver Broncos, and the Broncos will be picking before we know it. Steve, pleasure as always to get you on. Thank you.
Thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
The Denver Broncos. Boy, this is an interesting position for them to be in, and we talked a little bit about this last segment. To me, you can't miss when it comes to Quentin Nelson at number 5. And I know that this is really not the sexy pick. People want, they want results immediately. They want excitement based off of what Denver did last year. And this is something that I just can't get people to grasp their head around. You use a first round pick on Garrett Bowles last year. Let's compliment him. Okay, let's put him in a position to succeed. How do you do that? By drafting Quentin Nelson, who to me is he's a Hall of Fame talent. I think he's that good. And we were talking to Antoine Staley just a few moments ago, and he said the same thing. This is a guy that if you take at 5, you do not have to worry about that position for another 10 years. So if the Broncos go down that road, fans should not be upset. That's the smart pick. I don't know that they go that route, though, Steve.
Well, and to even take that one step further, you got Case Keenum, who, let's be honest, there are questions of whether or not he is a franchise quarterback. That's why you only signed him to a 2-year deal with a second-year option. So you went out of your way to get a quarterback because clearly the Paxton Lynch, Brock Osweiler, Trevor Siemian experiment was a complete and utter failure last year. How do you help an offense? How do you help a quarterback who you want to take you to that next level? And by next level, let's be honest here. Broncos were 9-7 last year, 7-9 last year. This was not a terrible football team. They were decimated by injuries. They were decimated by the lack of a running game. They were decimated by marginal, at best, play at the quarterback position. How do you fix that? You get offensive linemen. You get them weapons that are going to allow Case Keenum to stay upright. You have a receiving core. You have Demaryius Thomas. You've got A.J. Derby. You've got Emmanuel Sanders. So you have pieces in place. You don't need a splashy first-round receiver. You need guys who are going to be workhorses. To get Case Keenum that opportunity to succeed, you need to give him offensive line help. Garrett Bowles on one side, Quentin Nelson on the other. And I think that's the direction you go in. But to your point, John Elway likes the splashy pick. Broncos fans like the splashy pick. They like names. They like skill position guys. Broncos fans, and I'm not trying to say this to offend Broncos fans, but I'm going to offend Broncos fans. Broncos fans think that the bigger the name, the bigger the splash, the bigger the headlines, the better the results. not always the case. Look at the Oakland Raiders in years past. They've done the same thing. Jamarcus Russell. They've done this before, and it doesn't always work out. So in my mind, you take the safe guy. You take the guy who's going to provide, to your point, a 9-10 year window on the offensive line, and let Case Keenum develop into the quarterback that a lot of people think he was based on what he did in Minnesota last year.
And even if he doesn't become that guy, to me, I have a problem with teams in drafts reaching to grab a quarterback because that's what they need. Okay, I don't think that you should necessarily draft for need. I think you need to take the best player available when you have that many holes. And this is a Denver Bronco team that, as it stands right now, and again, you talked about not offending Bronco fans, this is going to offend Bronco fans. You are the worst team in the AFC West. Okay, you will finish fourth in the AFC West. You're not going to the playoffs, regardless if you take a quarterback, or if you take Quentin Nelson, or if you go defense, or if you trade down. This team is not going to the playoffs. With that being said, start filling as many holes as you possibly can. Not even a bad idea to move down. Now, I know a lot of that will depend on what happens in picks 1-4, but the Broncos are in a pretty good situation. The idea here tonight is to not screw it up, Steve.
And I'll challenge the last place AFC West thing just a bit here. Case Keenum is the second best quarterback in that division. And I say that because you have Phillip Rivers. He's clearly the best quarterback in that division. Case Keenum is the second best quarterback in that division. And I'll say that because we don't know what Patrick Mahomes is. Patrick Mahomes has had one start in a meaningless game at the end of last season. Still, he's considered a rookie. You have Derek Carr. I don't know what Derek Carr is going to be this season. It's a brand-new offense run by a guy who hasn't coached in the NFL in more than a decade. So I don't know what Derek Carr is going to be. Plus, he's got injury issues. So to me, I think Case Keenum comes into a situation where, if allowed to succeed, if given a chance to succeed, and this goes to Quentin Nelson, this goes to anyone on the offensive line, this goes to a reliable running back, this goes to a reliable, you don't need a splashy receiver, but you need a reliable receiver. Denver can finish second in that division simply by giving Case Keenum an opportunity to succeed. Now, that being said, are the Broncos better than Kansas City? No. Not by any stretch of the imagination. Are they better than San Diego? They can be. Because San Diego, at the end of the day, I still think is a train wreck. And the Raiders, I still think, are a work in progress.
I love how you refer to them as San Diego. Because I don't call them...
Still doing, see?
I don't call them L.A.
I am never going to be used to the L.A. thing.
No,
never.
Look, I don't call them L.A. because they're not L.A. To me, that's the equivalence of the Angels calling themselves the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Right. Because if you've ever been to Los Angeles, L.A. and Anaheim are as far apart as you can imagine. And you should never refer to them as the L.A. Angels of anything.
No. And look, if you've been to L.A. recently, nobody cares about the Chargers. They're not wanted there. So, no. I appreciate you calling them the San Diego Chargers.
But to me, that's where I think Broncos fans are torn, is this idea that suddenly just a big name is going to put them into the playoffs. You're not a playoff team. They're not.
No.
Denver Broncos are not a playoff team. But they can be the second best team in that division. But it requires tact, and it requires making smart moves now and building for the future.
Again, we're being joined right now by Steve Bordstein. He's the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve, I want to talk about an individual that you and I had a conversation about earlier this week on your show, and that's Calvin Ridley, who seems to be falling down draft boards, and that surprises me a little bit. I know from the wide receiver spot, there's three or four guys in this draft that I think will make an immediate impact on the league. One of those guys is Calvin Ridley. If you would have talked to me 2 months ago, I would have said he's probably a top 12, top 11 pick. Right now, you'd be hard-pressed to find some mock drafts where he goes top 20.
Right, and that's surprising to me because if we are talking top 20, I'm the Dallas Cowboys, and I'm sitting there at 19. And if he's there, how do you not think about Calvin Ridley, or for that matter, Cortland Sutton from SMU? I mean, there are reliable receivers, and Cortland Sutton would be perfect for them from SMU. I mean, there are receivers out there who can replace Dez Bryant, and if you're looking for that guy who could replace Dez Bryant, and you're sitting there at 19, and those guys are available, that's amazing to me. Calvin Ridley's numbers went down last year, not because of Calvin Ridley, but because of Jalen Hurts. I mean, that's why the numbers went down, because Jalen Hurts was not not exactly your star-studded quarterback last year. That came true in the national championship game. We saw what happened. So, to me, Calvin Ridley is option number one. Cortland Sutton would be option number two as far as the receiving position is concerned. But to your point, Calvin Ridley, to me, was a top ten draft pick like a month ago. And then all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden you started hearing this name, and Bradley Chubb's name came in, and other players came in, all deservingly so. And again, this goes back to the fascination we've made about the quarterbacks, that all of these quarterbacks are going to be game changers. The fact of the matter is, I don't think any of them are going to be game changers. I think you've got issues with all of these quarterbacks, be it Baker Mayfield, be it Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, any of these guys. They're all, to me, question marks there as far as what they're going to be able to accomplish, not just first year, but I think down the road even. Josh Rosen, to me, is the most reliable guy. I watched him the second half of the season, and he was brilliant. Sam Darnold has his turnover issues. Baker Mayfield has personality issues. They've all got something, you know. But to me, as far as the wide receiver position is concerned, if I'm Dallas and I know I can land one of those two guys, even if I have to move up a couple of spots, Dallas Cowboys have 10 picks in this draft. I expect them to make a move to either acquire via trade or what have you. Earl Thomas, remember what happened at the end of last season when Earl Thomas, at the end of the Dallas-Seattle game, Earl Thomas went out of his way to go to the Dallas Cowboys locker room to tell Jason Garrett, hey, if there's a way you can get me out of here, get me. You know, so I expect them to do that. I expect them to make a move to either go after an Earl Thomas or to go after a top flight wide receiver.
Okay, if we're talking wideouts, let me throw out who I think is going to be the steal of the first round, and I'm going to stick in the wide receiver category. DJ Moore out of Maryland. I'm going to say that whoever gets this guy in the first round, he is going to go tonight. He will be selected in this first round. I believe that we have three wide receivers selected in the first round tonight. DJ Moore is going to be one of them. This kid can spell a Brandon Cooks type receiver. And the reason I bring up Brandon Cooks' name is because that netted the Patriots a first round pick. A first round pick that was in the 20s, be it. But I think DJ Moore is 6 foot, weighs a little over 200 pounds. He's very dangerous after the catch. He's a very gritty receiver. Not the best route runner. But here's why he makes sense in Dallas. He makes plays downfield. And that's a kid that will get people excited. And I think it's a really flashy option to tag with someone like Dak Prescott with Ezekiel Elliott out of the backcourt. That could be the trio. Okay, if you're going to compare the Cowboys, look, you had Aikman, you had Smith, you had Irvin. I think that DJ Moore is that exciting of a wide receiver. This kid goes in the first round, and I'm telling you, whoever gets him gets a steal in this draft because he's not going to go top 15.
Well, and the guy that the team that I thought was very intriguing for him, and I don't know how late he'll be in the first round, but if you're sitting there, if you're Jacksonville, what a guy to get to replace Allen Robinson in free agency, who you lost to the release of Allen Hurns. I mean, they have Dante Moncrief, but if you can throw in DJ Moore, I don't want to hear any more about Blake Bortles not being an efficient quarterback. I don't want to hear another word about it. He got you to the AFC Championship game. Blake Bortles should never get a team to an AFC Championship game ever again with the offense, with the team that he had around him. But now you throw in some pretty big names, and you can get Blake Bortles alongside Dante Moncrief and DJ Moore. That's an impressive roster going into next season.
Steve, before I let you go, I mean, I'd be a terrible host if I didn't give you an opportunity to talk about the train wreck in Cleveland. And no, I'm not talking about the Cavaliers. I'm talking about the Browns. In fact, going into the draft, and I say that I go to this guy's defense all the time. I loved what Sashi Brown was doing in Cleveland. I mentioned this last segment, but I'm going to go back to it. I loved what he was doing in Cleveland. I don't care that they went 0-16 last year because that team was not in position to win last year anyways. This was a process-type deal. Okay, so you get rid of a general manager who had a pretty good draft last season, all things considered. Okay, and then he has the first and fourth pick in the draft, and you get rid of this guy. He bought a second-round draft pick for Brock Osweiler. That's what he did. And you get rid of this guy, it's a train wreck in Cleveland. They're in a decent spot. They hold the keys to the draft once again at 1-4.
And what do you do with it? You're good. According to every rumor and everything that I've been seeing since 7 o'clock this morning, you're going to get Baker Mayfield. Is that so Cleveland or what?
It's ridiculous.
And, I mean, you just did this. You just did this a few years ago. Highly touted, undersized Heisman Trophy winning quarterback from an SEC school with off the field and on the field issues. His name was Johnny Manziel. Did you not learn anything from that experience?
Oh, my goodness. It's terrible.
I mean, that is so Cleveland.
Yeah, it is.
It is so beautifully Cleveland. Now, they can fix it and make it right at four, and that would be, if they stay at four, and that would be by going out and getting Bradley Chubb. If they can do that, it alleviates some of the eye-raising that's going to go on if, in fact, they take Baker Mayfield, which all indications are they will. And if you're the New York Jets, and you're sitting there, because I'm assuming Saquon Barkley's going to go to the Giants. If you're sitting there knowing that you have options of Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, or Sam Darnold at three, you're thanking your lucky stars that John Dorsey is running the Cleveland Browns organization just the same way that it's been run for the last 5 years, which is a train wreck.
We'll end with this, Steve. I don't think there's any argument that Saquon Barkley was the best running back in college football last year. Everybody knew that going into the season. For me, it was up for debate on who number two was. Was it Darius Geis out of LSU, or was it Sony Michel out of Georgia? And I think a lot of Michel, what he was able to accomplish is he had a pretty good second punch coming out of the backfield. Who goes first, Michel or Geis tonight, and who would you rather have out of those two?
Out of those two, I'd rather have Geis. Quite honestly, just he's for his size, he's a smaller size. I mean, they're the same size essentially, Geis and Michel. I like Geis out of LSU, but I think there's other. I think the running back position is one that we could see quite a few running backs. And wasn't it just a few years ago that the running back position was being phased out of offenses, yeah, and suddenly running backs were no good anymore? And then you see what happened with Ezekiel. You see what happened with the kid over in New Orleans, and so many running backs are back in full force again. I would rather have Geis. I'd rather have Barkley first, Geis second. The guy that I'm really looking to see where he goes, and I would not be surprised at all if he went early in the second round, is Rashad Penny out of San Diego State. I love what this kid did down in San Diego State last year, and I think he's going to be someone who is going to be well sought after. The yards he gained last year, 2,248 yards last year, 23 touchdowns. He's able to catch out of the backfield. I think he's a very versatile player. He's someone who I would definitely look for. I would look for him ahead of a guy like Ronald Jones out of USC. I'd look for him ahead of Nick Chubb from Georgia. I'd look at Rashad Penny.
Steve Bortstein, again, the host of First Sports. Steve, before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find your work.
Fox AM 1340, 93.9 FM. We are the Four Corners sports station here in the state of New Mexico. You can listen online through the iHeartRadio app by going to our website at foxsports1340.com. First Sports airs weekday morning, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 9 a.m. to noon Eastern. Also, I am the host of The Fast Track, a nationally syndicated horse racing show, which, of course, we've got the Derby coming up next weekend, so a lot of focus on that coming up very soon. The Fast Track airs every Saturday and Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Mountain Time, and of course you can catch all of those things again on our website at foxsports1340.com. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at fox1340am.
Steve, it's always fun to get you on. Enjoy the draft, and I know we'll talk again soon.
Looking forward to it, my friend.
We've got a break for just a moment. We'll come back and put the final touches on this edition of the show when we return here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m.
Live from the KOAL newsroom in Price, Utah, it's Drive Time Sports on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Take that for data.
We're back for the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Again, the NFL draft is coming up in about an hour. The Cleveland Browns will be making their selection. Looking forward to it. And we'll be talking about the NFL draft and the aftermath in the coming days. I absolutely have to thank Antoine Staley and, of course, Steve Bortstein for taking out the time to join us. We'll be back on Monday to dissect everything. Tomorrow, it's going to be a best of Drive Time Sports. I'm going to take the weekend off, and so we'll replay some of my favorite segments of the week. And, of course, Monday, we'll dive right back into it. Hopefully, we're talking about a Utah Jazz Series victory. The Jazz will return to KOAL tomorrow night. For Travis Anderson, I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.